I'm broadcasting the show today from Chicago, where voters just guaranteed that the city will have a black woman as mayor for the first time ever. In an election on Tuesday, attorney Lori Lightfoot and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, both black women, advanced to a runoff election, which will happen on April 2nd. Chicago has lost a significant portion of its black population since 1980. And by 2030, Chicago's black population is on track to shrink to 665,000, down from a peak of about 1.2 million. That's according to the Urban Institute of Chicago. So why are so many African Americans leaving? I asked Teresa Cordova, the director of the Great Cities Institute at the University of Illinois at Chicago.
In a lot of these neighborhoods where we're seeing the largest amount of decline, those are also neighborhoods where you have a lot of job loss. Particularly since 1975, 19 into the 80s, you saw a lot of job loss. And along with that job loss, you saw disinvested neighborhoods with declines in anchor institutions, the corner grocery stores, even schools we've seen in the last few years, a lot of schools have left. So that overall in these conditions of disinvestment, people are weighing their options and saying, well, we might want to stay in Chicago. We can't afford to live in other neighborhoods, and we don't want to stay in this neighborhood anymore either because there aren't the amenities for us, there aren't the services, there aren't the quality schools, and in fact, we're seeing the violence here. So I think that also contributes to why people are leaving.
Why is this disinvestment going on more in these African-American neighborhoods than in other parts of Chicago?
I think part of it is one, because a lot of the disinvestment occurred in the first place because of the loss of manufacturing. When you compare over time where jobs were, you can see that these neighborhoods had a lot of employment opportunities. There were a lot of anchor employment centers. Those are gone for the most part from these neighborhoods, and they weren't replaced. Where you're seeing more development is in the Loop and the downtown area and in the northwest side of Chicago and the northwest suburbs.
But when you talk about a population loss, you said 33%. The city of Chicago hasn't gone down by that much. So who's coming in to replace this population?
Chicago's population overall peaked in 1950, and then we saw a decline. And what we saw there it was part of the suburbanization, where whites were leaving the city and moving to the suburbs. There were all kinds of reasons why that occurred, including federal subsidies and the creation of highways and so on. And now they've come back, and they're coming back.
That's not great news for Kristen Ware, who is seeing living costs going up. She lives in Chicago's Hyde Park neighborhood with her 2-year-old son, Caden, and her 10-year-old dog, Rocco.
Rocco, you're going to be on the radio. Come
here. Ware is 40 years old. She grew up in Milwaukee and moved to Chicago in 2002 to pursue a career in marketing. She says she loves the city but is selling her townhouse to upgrade to a much bigger place in Charlotte, North Carolina.
As much as I love the city and the friend base that I've developed here, I just feel like the cost of living is getting out of control. So I need to go someplace where my dollar's just going to stretch a little bit further. And then also the school system here just isn't the best. And there's a lot of things that go along with getting into the schools that are really good in the city. So it's very competitive. From that standpoint. And then the weather. I used to travel a lot to Charlotte and Atlanta for my previous job. And when you travel to warmer places in the wintertime, you realize you're making a choice to live in the cold weather.
Ware is also expecting to pay a lot less in taxes by leaving Illinois.
There's a lot of things like that. The sugar tax turned me off. That was one thing I did not like. I just feel like they're just nickel and diming you with the bag tax, and then they wanted to do the sugar tax. Like, do a better job managing your money and the budgets you have, because that's what we have to do.
Here.
Yeah, I think we are overtaxed here, and I think the cost of living is constantly going up, and we're not getting compensated to, you know, properly adjust to that cost of living increase that we're facing.
There's another reason Ware decided to leave Chicago. She says she wants to raise her 2-year-old son somewhere with lots of opportunity.
I'm raising a black male in America, so I want to make sure that I give him the opportunity to have affluent role models that he can be around and see successful black people. That's important to me for him to see success.
And you don't see that here?
No, I do see it in Chicago. I definitely see it in Chicago. And that was why it was important to me to pick another city where I knew he would see that as well and have the opportunity to have some mentoring and stuff.
For Catherine Welch, the reason for leaving Chicago wasn't economic. It was about safety. She was born and raised in Chicago, but after 26 years in the city, she moved to the suburb of South Holland to be closer to her parents.
I'm a single woman living alone, and safety is my number one concern. I don't have to look over my shoulder every time I pull in the garage to wonder, is someone following me in? Is someone going to attack me? Granted, there's crime everywhere, but I feel really safe where I am. I don't feel, as I do here, that there will be a gunshot at any point.
Here is an intersection on Chicago's south side, 79th and Racine, to be exact. Catherine met us in the office of the Greater Auburn Gresham Development Corporation near where she works and where she once had her own brush with gun violence.
It was a summer day. I was walking to Walgreens, and I heard these pops, and I saw gunfire from the alleyway, and I saw a kid running eastbound, and I didn't know where he was going to run. And at that moment, I felt helpless. And unless someone's been, and there's been a number of people who've been exposed to that, but it's such a helpless feeling to know that someone has a gun and you're in an environment that you can't get away from immediately. And I had to scramble to get the key to get back into the office. And that had an impact on me. Now, granted, that type of experience is very, very small compared to a lot of the parents who have lost their children or people who witness someone being shot or seeing a dead body lay on the ground for hours at a time. But at that moment, I just felt so vulnerable and felt no matter what I did, I had such little control over that moment of where I was. I may park in that lot. There's any given day I could be walking down the street to run an errand or to go to my car if it's parked over in that direction. So, no, I do not want to come back to Chicago for mainly that reason. If I had a family of small children, I probably would even not move back to Chicago because I would think about their well-being and their education. And good schools are primarily in good communities. And I want to say good communities that have less crime, communities where there aren't as many boarded up homes, communities in which more affluent people live.
Do you think of yourself as part of, when we hear about a lot of the black population of Chicago leaving the city, either to go to the suburbs or to leave the state altogether and maybe go to the south? Do you think of yourself as part of that migration out of the city because of crime, economic opportunity, whatever it might be?
Yes, I would say definitely for that reason.
Do you think that there's hope for the city to turn things around and make this neighborhood safe?
I would say absolutely. There's definitely an opportunity for things to turn around because there are great people. We have great public officials, great faith-based communities, great community organizations that are doing great work to stabilize communities like this. And there's been a lot of good things done. It's just going to take more time. But I do think there's turnaround, and I think that turnaround will come when there's more opportunities job-wise, as well as people staying in the community. I think that's going to be a factor. As much as I say I won't come back to Chicago, I think people staying where they are and stabilizing that block will make a difference. And there are people who are doing that work.
But you think the first thing that has to be done is to deal with the crime so that the area is safe?
Absolutely.
And, says urban planning professor Teresa Cordova, the city has to make sure that it's allowing people who have made these neighborhoods their home for decades to stay in the new Chicago.
Chicago is probably not going to be the city that it is today in 10 years. In 10 years, the city of Chicago is going to be a very different place. The biggest issue right now with this urban restructuring that's occurring is we're seeing economic growth in the downtown area, in the Loop area, and we're seeing that the disinvestment and the abandonment of the neighborhoods. And so what has to happen is that those neighborhoods that have been abandoned, we need to reinvest back in those neighborhoods. We need capital investment. We need anchor institutions. But it needs to be done in a way that people who live in those neighborhoods can remain in those neighborhoods. The gentrification process occurs when you invest back in those neighborhoods, but the people who've been there can't afford to stay there. So the question is, how do you revitalize without displacing people?